Blog Talk Radio.
What's happening?
Science isn't about facts. It's about what we want you to believe.
Somebody kill me!
Simple Facts of Life Radio, where, well, we don't give up. We continue the search. We are searching for people who still believe in personal liberty, personal responsibility, and personal accountability. And if you don't know where to look, they're getting harder and harder to find. But, all right, I am, as always, your host, the Chief, coming to you from somewhere in the vicinity of Portland, Oregon, where, well, we're a few days away from springtime. Weather's getting a little milder. The local people around here are getting crazier. Yeah, they're back at it in downtown Portland. They're tried to set fire to the federal courthouse yet again. Well, I mean, at least they didn't do anything crazy like, you know, read a Dr. Seuss book or anything like that. Now, okay, well, lots of stuff going on to talk about. I've probably mentioned it here before. I mentioned it in some other places, chat rooms and such, that with everything going on, it should be really easy to find stuff to talk about. And in actuality, it kind of is, except it's just so depressing. It makes it hard to, you know, the stuff's there, but nothing I want to talk about, but somebody should. I guess I shouldn't just leave it to somebody else to do it, because that way, you know, I'd be like your typical leftist, socialist, yeah, slacker type. So I'll take a shot at it. I'll, you know, pull my own weight here. It is so depressing. It does make it a little hard to want to do this sometimes. But okay. Now, let's find some stuff to talk about here, because President Biden, God, I hate to say President Biden, but yes, I guess we have to do that. President Biden, hi, Bigfoot. Bigfoot's joining the chat room. President Biden spoke to the nation. I think it was on Thursday. Now, just for some reason, I didn't watch the speech when he gave it. I like to watch presidential, addresses. I used to watch when Obama gave them, and I was not a fan of much of what he said, but, you know, I just wanted to, hear. Well, I didn't watch this one live, and it, nothing personal, Joe, Mr. President, your geezerness, whatever your official title is. I just kind of spaced it because, well, I'm not quite as old as the president, but I'm getting up there, and so I space stuff. Now, but, you know, I figured I was actually interested, so I think it was Saturday. I sat through the whole thing. Yes, I watched the president's speech, so you don't have to. Yes, I know. So what were my impressions? Well, I noticed a few things. It's kind of in the usual, you know, since it was an address and not a major thing. He didn't give it from the Oval Office. He gave it, I guess, from that little hallway, wherever it is that presidents tend to have been using lately. And it looked all nice and all, it had all kinds of flags, looked really pretty. And then the president comes shuffling down, and the first thing I couldn't help but notice is he was wearing a mask. Why did he have to walk up to the microphone with a mask on his face? Or as some people have dubbed him, a bitch rag. I'll get to that later on at the end of the show. You'll know what I'm talking about. Now, did he feel he needed it? Because there might have been some viruses on the state flags. I mean, he could have had them arranged so that, you know, only the states that he likes had their flags there, so maybe he would be safe. I don't know. But, you know, maybe he was actually just making a statement. Because, see, like I mentioned, I'm kind of old, and I remember back, was like 1978, thereabouts, we had this energy crisis, and there was no gasoline, and we couldn't heat our homes, and every fuel was very expensive, and our president at the time, Jimmy Carter, gave a speech about things, and he had a solution, but it wasn't something he said. It was just kind of a subliminal message. He gave the speech wearing a sweater. Yeah, I remember that. And it was like, it was a, yes, we can get through this crisis because we're Americans, we're strong, and we have sweaters. So, you know, who needs to keep your house warm if you can put on a sweater? So maybe that's what the president was going for. I don't know. But on the plus side, at least he did amazingly enough remember to take it off before he started talking. And I think he probably actually remembered because now maybe it was on his teleprompter there, which we couldn't see. Maybe it said, take off your, but he didn't step up to the microphone and say, take off your mask, my fellow Americans. So it's probably what would have happened had he been reading it. But, okay, so he took it off. Now, what I noticed, before we get to anything that he said, if you saw that, just a vacant stare, like vacuous eyes, I don't know. It just, actually, as he has it moved on, he sort of looked a little better as far as his eyes, but especially at the beginning, just like he was staring off into space. He had just like there was, you know, some people call him barely there, Biden. Oh, he just looked like he was barely there. And when he was talking, I mean, there was absolutely no animation, nothing. He was just there, obviously reading the speech. In fact, as far as just he gave a speech, kind of another one of these show my age things. He gave a speech the way Bill Wyman used to play the bass when he was with the Rolling Stones. Ever see old Rolling Stones, Bill Wyman just stand there on those very rare occasions when he had to maybe do a little background vocal. He even looked annoyed that he had to move his head to point it at the microphone. That's about how Biden was, just there, no expression, just going through the motions. So, okay, that was how he appeared. Now, what did he say? Who cares? Nah, well, we'll since we spent, 20-some minutes watching him, we did pick up on a few things that he actually said. He didn't specifically say this, but there was no accident. He made it sound as if he was the hero of the entire coronavirus pandemic solution. We were going to get over it because of him. And, well, before he got there, a couple months ago, there was nothing. Just, we were completely flailing around. Now he talked about, yes, since I've been here, we're getting all these people vaccinated and everything's going to be just fine. And, I can understand that, there's some kind of rule you can't say anything good about President Trump. I mean, he never mentioned that, hey, we have some vaccine and now maybe we're really able to really get people vaccinated because we have the vaccine, which we didn't have 6 months ago because it hadn't been invented, and it wouldn't have been invented if it wasn't for that other guy that we can't mention. Okay, so Joe Biden is the hero. He personally sat down in his basement in Delaware and invented the vaccine, after he got done helping Al Gore invent the internet, he invented the vaccine. I guess that's what must have happened, or at least that's what you get the feeling of if you listen to his speech. And, well, at least now, since we're getting vaccinated, everything's going to be fine, and if everybody does exactly what they're supposed to do and, wears a mask and doesn't take it off until you start speaking, maybe he will be magnanimous enough to grant us permission to, have a couple friends over by the 4th of July. Yeah, as long as we're good little sheep, do everything he says. We'll give you a firecracker. Give me a break. Okay, just one other thing from the speech before I move on to something a little, as soon as he was done, it wasn't a press conference. Nobody really expected him to take any questions. He was making a speech. Somebody did shout a question at him, which he either didn't hear or ignored. He just sort of turned around and sort of shuffled off. And, I kind of saw it when he walked in, but walking away, that was the most classic old man shuffle walk I have ever seen. The guy can barely move. That's what it looked like to me. Okay, let's move on to something else. Military launched a massive attack last week. Well, they attacked Tucker Carlson. Because Mr. Carlson, you know, had the nerve to wonder why the military was concerned about maternity flight suits as opposed to, you know, less important things like, can we win a war? And the military, well, what did they do? They, you were in the military. You can't criticize. Well, number one, if he pays taxes, then the military works for him like they work for anybody else. So, yeah, you can criticize the military even if you weren't there. But, yeah, I'll criticize because I was in for 20 years. You guys, maternity flight suits, why are you sending pregnant women? Well, okay. What was really, I mean, this wasn't just I think the Marines, maybe the Space Force, somebody actually used official government-sponsored Twitter accounts. I mean, granted, the government doesn't own the Twitter account, but you get what they tweeted in the name of their service about Tucker Carlson. Yeah, personally, I would call that a mistake because let me give you a simple fact of life here. If your name is Tucker Carlson, you should probably not grab a rifle and try to take on the Marines. It's not going to go very well for you. But on the other hand, if you're the Marines, you should probably not grab a few words and try to take on Tucker Carlson. That ain't going to go very well. I loved his response to that. Oh, are they going to go after me like they went after the Taliban? I mean, you know, and I've only got like 20 years because, well, it's been 20 years and they haven't gotten rid of the Taliban yet. Yeah. Okay. Now, moving on, what Tucker Carlson was talking about, though, I think the point he brought up is instead of being woke, we needed to worry about being able to win wars. And he specifically mentioned, you know, who seems to be our major foe these days, China. And it got me to thinking, because it could be a lot worse than we think. I mean, well, it got me thinking about some stuff. And so what I did a couple days ago is, you know, I had a few questions. I don't know any big experts, but I needed somebody with some knowledge of Asia. So I occasionally mention, I have one of the oldest fans of this show. He's an old shipmate of mine, a very American sort of guy who, oh, through the strangeness of fate, life, whatever, has found himself for the last 30-some years living in Japan. So he knows a little something about what's going on in Asia. He follows it. And I remembered something that, you know, in one of our discussions a few years ago, something he had told me. So I wanted to ask him about it, if he still, he had told me that he believed, you know, and this goes on with, what I'm talking about here right now is the big question is what's going on between China and Taiwan. And so I was wondering, Taiwan is cockpit. You know, they're not a nuclear power officially, but it's been sort of regarded as what some people would call a threshold nuclear power. They could maybe do it if they really wanted to. And what my friend in Japan had told me, he believed that Japan, like, you know, they have no nuclear weapons, but he said he firmly believed that Japan had everything they needed laying around, all the parts. All they really had to do is assemble them. If Japan wanted nuclear weapons, they could have them weeks, days, hours, maybe. I mean, that's how long it would take Japan to put a nuke together if they wanted to. And I was asking him if he still believed that about Japan, and might it apply to Taiwan? And if Taiwan was in that sort of a position, what would they do if they were faced with an invasion from mainland China, which they couldn't likely fend off without some serious help from the United States? My friend, he said he gave it actually a better than 50% chance that Taiwan either has nukes or could have them anytime they wanted them. And he went back to something from many years ago. He told me about some, I don't remember this. He thought I might remember it. I don't, but something about what may have been a nuclear test, something, some people, seismographs picked something up, and a lot of people thought it was a couple, two nuclear tests at the same, basically at the exact same time, and it was speculated that it might be Taiwan and South Africa testing nukes. So, yeah. The point being, is China ready to go after Taiwan? And here's the thing. They've made no secret. They want to do it. The time is now for them, because I'm not even sure the United States could really stop them without, you know, going nuclear or something ourselves. Biden is not going to do a damn thing about it. And, you know, nobody else is either. Japan's not going to do anything. In fact, it was even, my friend even mentioned that he thought that Japan might refuse to allow the United States to use their bases in Japan if we did want to do something. But in the end, they're not going to do anything. The mainstream Biden will just totally wimp out. The media will say, hey, it was going to happen anyway, and isn't it wonderful? China is all together, and, you know, rainbows and unicorns, and it's all a good thing. And, yeah. And then, you know, they'll talk about, hey, isn't it great that we're all getting our stimulus checks? And that's another thing I should talk about, but I don't really have much time. But, you know, we're getting to the, my friend pointed something else out at the end of our conversation that kind of had me a little depressed, but I don't know, something I didn't think too much about, but I kind of realized, I think subliminally. You know, it's where I started the show with. It's kind of depressing. It's hard to talk about some of this stuff because the reason that China might go after, they'll pick the time because we are here very distracted, particularly our government, particularly the our federal government, and I'm talking specifically about the executive branch, Biden, and the Congress, controlled by Democrats. They are in the process of consolidating their power so that they'll never lose it. They can't let anything distract them from that. And what my friend had told me is we may be at the point where maybe it's maybe good for old people like me. He likened where we're going in the United States to where Mexico has been. Corrupt government, giving the people enough crumbs to maybe get by. Can't last forever, but I'm pretty old. Maybe it'll last the rest of my life. I don't know. So, I'm almost out of time, and I do have one little thing. If you look in the show notes, there's a little link at the bottom. I'll also say hi. Crazy Cajun has joined us. Nice to see you, Doug. Bigfoot's still pretending to be here, like pretending to listen to me. That little link at the bottom is a little song from my guy Hopalong Ginsberg. Writes some goofy songs. This one is called Mask Mandate Blues, and it's the language is a little racier than usual, but hey, it's kind of funny. I'm going to play it for you anyway, and it'll take the rest of the show, so I'm out of here.
Good little bitches, got your bitch rag on your face. Good little bitches, got your bitch rag on your face. Now bow down before your master, show him that you know your place. You give that boot a good lickin', you hear? Good little bitches, gonna do just what you're told. Good little bitches, gonna do just what you're told. Stakes they jump, you say, how high? Well, I'm glad that you ain't me, dog, because that shit be getting old. COVID is a virus, your stupid mask ain't doing shit. Fact, COVID is a virus, your stupid mask ain't doing shit. And if you were the little bitch boy, then you would just get rid of it. Rag on your face, and let me tell you, baby, it's an improvement. Good little bitches, you've got your bitch rag on your face. Yeah. Now bow down before your master.
show him that you know your place.